This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon, we're covering a lot of things happening around the Umpqua Valley, and a big one this weekend is the 56th Annual Summer Arts Festival, and we're going to talk about that with Monica Stanfield and Ashley Kluver from the Umpqua Valley Arts Association. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Kyle.
Thanks for having us, Kyle.
So, Ashley, kind of tell us just the sort of the framework of when, where, and all that kind of thing to begin with.
Yes. So it's going to be this Friday through Sunday, which is the 27th, 28th, and 29th of June. We're very excited because this is our big annual event where we have hundreds of art vendors, tons of amazing food vendors coming and serving food, and great entertainment for all. It's going to be all 3 days, Friday and Saturday specifically. It's going to be 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday it's 10 to 4.
And Monica, you took over as executive director about 6 months ago, right?
Yeah, that's right, Kyle, in December 24.
And so coming into this for the first time, it's got to be interesting experience.
Yeah, as I came on back in December, I already felt like I was a little bit behind the ball, knowing that Summer Arts Festival is a whole year of planning and preparation. But we've done it. We've really pulled it all together, and it's been incredible to see the community come together, all the volunteers and our community partners that make this whole thing possible.
But you'd already lived here for a while. You'd lived here in the past as well. So this wasn't like walking in totally blind.
No, absolutely not. And, you know, we've done this before. It's the 56th year that Umpqua Valley Arts has put this together. So it's incredible to be able to step into other people's, you know, be able to take that baton that other folks have handed off over the years and just carry on this great work. And yes, I have been to the Summer Arts Festival before as a spectator, but it's pretty incredible to see all the behind the scenes that goes into making it possible.
I guarantee you that all 3 days, you will spend more time at the Arts Festival than you ever did as just a consumer coming in.
Oh, yeah, and maybe more time than the combined, like, last couple weeks put together over that weekend, for sure.
So, Ashley, kind of take us through some of what's going on.
Yeah, I'll go category by category. First,
and for those of you reading the Summer Arts Festival guide at home, you can follow along.
Yes, you can find that on our website, our Summer Arts Festival page at uvarts.com. And one of the first topics that we get to is art vendors. They're the heart and soul of the event. That's one reason why it's arts festivals. We have well over 110 artists coming this year, which is amazing. We have artists representing 15 plus different categories and mediums of art, from metal to ceramics to drawing and painting. And a lot of those artists are going to be doing demos in their booths, and some of them actually purchased double booths so that way they could host workshops. I know Simon Twins Tie-Dye, if anybody has seen that cute little duo running around making awesome tie-dye shirts, they're at our festival and they'll be hosting a workshop. So definitely worth coming by, not to just shop the art, but to experience it as well with these vendors.
And some of these folks are local, but some come from ways away, right?
Yes, we have some coming as far as Idaho, Washington, California. This event draws artists from across the region. That's why it's a local, regional, and national event when you think about it. We have had in the past artists come as far as New York, so we've got some really good broad array of artists that are coming in from in and out of the area both.
Yeah, it's the time of year when other communities are doing similar things as well, so some of these people kind of go on the circuit.
Yes, and they chose us, which we're very grateful and excited that they got to choose us and come down and share their art with our community here in Roseburg. It's a real treat.
So what's the process? I mean, if I just called and said, hey, I make art, I want a booth, probably not that simple.
No, we put everybody through a juring process, and that's also something else that stands us apart from some events that also host artists. We put artists through a juring process to make sure that their work is handcrafted, high quality, 100% handmade. We don't welcome resellers into this space because we want it to be about handmade art that artists create with their hard-earned talents and the medium of their choice. So it's everything you're going to see is going to be handcrafted.
And for some of the people that are local or at least have been coming here for a long time, if you come every year, you can kind of see their talent evolve?
Yes, because some art vendors come and return to us. We actually have one gentleman. His name is Dale Kurtz. If anybody who's been coming a long time is familiar with him, he's coming back this year, and he has been with us, I believe, 30 plus years.
Wow, that's pretty incredible. And like you said, all kinds of different art.
Absolutely. And it's just a testament to how creative that everybody can get within the different mediums, because one of the things we also look for during the drawing process is originality, and there's a lot of really great original styles and artwork on the grounds this year.
Anything else we need to know about the art part?
I think that's about it. We do have an additional feature that is something different, not really quite art related, but it's going to be in the art vendor area. We have an exciting booth called Spinfluence 360. It's an experience where you get to make a shareable memory of your time at the festival with an immersive 360 degree video booth. They approached us this year and we said yes, because what makes an art festival more memorable than being able to have a shareable memory with you and your friends?
Wow, that's pretty cool. And what are the hours for the Summer Arts Festival? We should mention that.
Yeah, it's 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. on Friday, Saturday, and on Sunday it's 10 to 4. I will note, and this is important, especially for anybody that is coming a little later in the day, art vendors do close at 8 p.m. So if you want to check out some of the art vendors before the final act of the night, or if you want to check out the art vendors and grab dinner, we suggest checking out the art vendors first if you're coming a little later in the day.
All right, what else do we need to know?
One of my favorite parts is the Youth Zone. Monica had a hand in helping with some of this and planning some of this, especially one particular fun activity-based offering we have. But our Art Zone for youth is where young artists can come and have hands-on experiences and just have a time to be creative during the event. So we have a hands-on art experience with a takeaway project, and young artists can add their own creative flair to a beautiful weaving installation project that we're doing that will be featured in our student gallery later this year. We also have Roseburg Optimist Club doing their beloved chalk walk. Frog Legs Studio is bringing art school to the event. And Monica, do you want to talk about the fun demo we're going to have behind the Youth Zone?
Yeah, Ashley, we're going to have Well and Good, who is a skateboard demo crew, doing skateboard demos throughout the weekend as well in the Youth Zone.
So now for skating, is this just for youth since it's in the Youth Zone?
Actually, thanks for mentioning that, Kyle. Their group, something that really helps them stand out is that they are an age-inclusive skateboarding group. And this group has been doing a lot of work around the skate park that's located up by the Duck Pond, back by Fred Meyer. And they've been working with the city to help make improvements there, to bring some art installations. And I connected in with them and was very intrigued by their age-inclusive skate group. I think that's so neat. They have kids from 70 and some skaters as old as 70 years old. So everything from 7 to 70. And they're going to be doing some demos throughout the weekend on and off in an area that we have designated, where they're going to have a few tricks and some ramps and things like that. So it'll be neat to see them represent the whole spectrum of ages of skateboarders.
Well, I will stop by and take a look. You will not find me as a participant. I think that would fall under risk management, and there's probably an attorney somewhere telling me not to do that, but it sounds like a good thing. All right, Ashley, what else do we want to hit here?
So we always, of course, have to have food at a great festival, and our McMiniman's food court is in full swing with a full array of offerings again this year. And we've got Rolling Thunder Barbecue, who's been a longtime attendee, bringing in great barbecue offerings. But we've also got Grubslingers and Nash's Hot Chicken and Wings. Both of those food vendors are kind of new within the last year, and we're super excited to welcome them both to have their offerings at our event. And then we've also got Best Lemonade in Town, River Blends Coffee, and Wailani Shaved Ice. And then for adult beverages, we've also got offerings from Urban Blends, Joseph Jane Winery, and our title sponsor, McMiniman's Roseburg Station Pub and Brewery. And they'll be serving up cold craft brews all weekend long, while Urban Blends and Joseph Jane will bring the wine and some frozen blended wine slushies.
So with the food, do you have to just stay in the food area when you're eating it?
Not the food. Alcohol beverages do, but the food you can take with you. But if you do decide to stay in the food court, you get a chance to see some of the entertainment that we have on our main stage.
And let's talk about that.
Absolutely. We have three great days of music lined up on our main stage. Friday, June 27th at 3 p.m., we have Chasing Ebenezer. 5 p.m., we have Greg in Good Company. 7 p.m., we have Lucky Boku. And they all bring different varieties of funk southern sounds to the stage, and it goes like really nice and kind of upbeat to really ramping up with the energy of some great dance tunes on Friday. And then Saturday, June 28th, we have TOB, that other band, at 3 p.m. We have The Alpines at 5 p.m. They're a band from Utah. And Widespread Haze at 7 p.m. This one's a little bit more of a funk-based day, a little bit of like a bluesy funk-based day. So it's going to be a nice time for dancing, too. And then Sunday, June 29th, we have The Vipers at 5 and Soulstruck at... Oh, excuse me, not 5 p.m. That's what happens when you have some typos that come through sometimes. At 12 p.m., we have The Vipers. And then at 2 p.m., we have Soulstruck.
All right, we're going to talk more about Summer Arts Festival when we come back. The interview podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 at News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM. Inside Douglas County, 1247, Lars Larson at 1, David Littlejohn with True Wealth Radio coming at 4, and it's the preview of the Summer Arts Festival. Monica Stanfield and Ashley Kluber from Umpqua Valley Arts. Monica, executive director for 6 months. So what are you looking forward to the most about this year?
You know, Kyle, so far the most amazing part about the Summer Arts Festival has been seeing the community come together. And it really is a community event. We could not do it without all the volunteers and the community partners. And I'm just really excited to see it all come together, see everybody's hard work come to fruition for these 3 days of excitement and entertainment.
And Ashley, you've talked before about the sort of the reputation of this festival for so many years that brings a lot of people from outside the area.
Yes, we have a good few thousand people who come to festival grounds over the course of the weekend because they know it's a central hub as an event for art experiences, music, entertainment, food, and they get to come and not only see vendors that some of them might know and recognize and really whose work that they love and they love to collect, but they love to come and see who's new. For example, we have a vendor who has been with us for a good number of years. It's Off Center Ceramics. And he has been coming every year, and he always has a joke that he has a woman who comes and purchases a dish from him, and she says that, you know, he can't stop coming until she has her full collection, so he's got to keep coming so she can get her full collection.
Wow. Well, and you make people make really long-term connections.
They do. There's a lot of people that recognize each other, say hello to each other, especially since some of these vendors do festival and event circuits in town in general. They'll go around to the different places. So they get to see each other and say hello and say, oh, I saw you at the Summer Arts Festival, or I saw you at the Christmas Fair. And it's really one key thing that really exemplifies it as a community-based event.
What do you know about year number one of the Summer Arts Festival?
I know that we had a handful of artists.
I know you weren't here.
Oh, I wasn't. No, this is all hearsay and stories I've been told. What I do know is we started out with a handful of artists. If anybody's familiar with where the information center is, I believe it was located right there off the river. And it was a handful of artists, one food vendor, and I think maybe they might have had one musician come play a few tunes. But it was a very, very small and intimate. And it has grown so much since then over the last 56 years.
And you've had some people that were really involved almost back at the beginning that are still helping out.
Yes, we have many community members, and I say community as in UVA's community, our member community, that have been with us and the organization and the event for such a long time. They really pass down the historic knowledge of where the event and the organization has come from to where it is now. And it's always a joy to see them and see them come back again and again, because again, we're talking 50 plus years. That is an amazing legacy that we as an organization have provided for artists, because a lot of these people are artists, And just the community in general when it comes to supporting the arts and bringing it to Douglas County.
Now, we were talking entertainment a bit ago. You've got two stages. Let's talk about the other one.
Speaking of community, we have a community stage. It's usually the one that's facing Harvard. So if anybody has seen our Big Shade Cloth goes up on Harvard this last week, that is our community stage Shade Cloth. And we have 3 days of great community-based entertainment lining up. On Friday, June 27th, we have the Accordion Club of Roseburg playing at 12 p.m. We have James and the Lost Dogs playing at 1:30. And then at 4 p.m., we have the RHS Elkton Fremont Middle School robotics teams doing fun demos on the stage. And then Saturday is a full lineup of dancing. Let me tell you, it's so great when we see all the dance troops come in and want to apply and perform because they're always so much fun to see. And it's a big variety. First, on June 28th, Saturday, we have UACT doing samples of their Anastasia the Musical performance at 11. And then at 12:30 p.m., we have the Susan Chitwood School of Dance. At 2 p.m., we have Perpetual Motion Belly Dance. At 4 p.m., we have Ellie Dance Studio. 5:30, we have the Diva Dancers. So, again, a full day of dancing, which is incredible.
And what about on Sunday?
Sunday, June 29th, we have some more dancing at 11 a.m. I really apologize. I hope I pronounced this right. The Halal Hula Aulani.
Very good. You got it correct.
Oh, good. I'm glad. And then at 1 p.m., we have UACT doing another round of what they call a music review, where they're going to sample different songs from different musicals and just kind of do an extra little performance that's less about their special summer musical they have going on and a little bit more about some of the things that they do within themselves as a community theater.
Now, so many things that are going on here over a three-day period. I know that your Art Center staff is officially about five people, so I'm sure you guys have this handled all by yourself.
Oh, goodness. I wish. If we did, it would be so much easier. But we are always enlisting the help of over 150 different volunteers that help us over the course of the weekend. Really, this festival would not come together without the strength and the support of our community. And so we're very thankful for everybody who has volunteered, and we're always seeking more. So if anybody is still interested in helping out, please do give us a call. We are open this week. Karma Fisher is our volunteer coordinator, and she can help get you signed up for two-hour time slots. And one other fun thing to note about volunteering, if you volunteer for 2 hours, you get in for free. So all of the great offerings we talked about, especially the bands, you get in for free if you just volunteer for 2 hours. So that's always really exciting. And then if you do two or more shifts, which is four or more hours, you actually get a free Summer Arts Festival t-shirt as a memorabilia for the event. So we always encourage, if anybody can swing it, two or more shifts.
And what kinds of things, other things, can people volunteer to do there?
There's so many. Right now, the biggest things that we need support on are going to be some of the gate crew. We need some help with our food court monitors, which does require a 21 and over age restriction just because it is monitoring, making sure alcohol doesn't leave the food court, but it's a super easy position. And we also have... Dimension parking monitor, I believe so. But parking monitor is another one that we have. That's another position that needs to be filled.
So a lot of opportunities for people to really help out here.
Absolutely. And like I mentioned, this event doesn't happen without the support of our community, whether it's sponsorships or whether it is all of the amazing volunteers, because it's almost like throwing $5, $10 into the hat. Every little bit counts. And so every little bit of hand that we can get to help with anything from the day-to-day management to set up, tear down, it always helps out a lot.
Yeah, and what about that idea of helping not necessarily during the festival, but in the next few days or after?
We can always use a set of hands on teardown, so if anybody also is available Sunday afternoon, early evening, about after 4 o'clock, or any time on Monday, and you want to show up with some good gloves, good closed-toed shoes, and a good set of working arms, we'll take your help, of course, on Monday for sure.
And Monica, you've got a board of directors. Kind of explain what they do for UVA.
Yeah. So, Kyle, our board of directors helps support the Summer Arts Festival throughout the year. A couple of those board members sit on some of the committees that are involved with the art vendor selection. And they're also really involved with our our sponsorships and our campaign. So the Summer Arts Festival is actually the largest fundraiser of the year for Umpqua Valley Arts. And we really try to, you know, educate the community as to what we do and how we stand for arts education, appreciation, and participation here in Douglas County. And the board members help to support that mission and to help really help to bring the campaign together so that we can, you know, use these funds throughout the year to bring our mission to the community.
Now, Ashley, all these things that are going on, you get through the festival. I know you start. You just opened a new exhibit, right?
Yes. We opened the 2025 Artworks Northwest Biennial. And one other cool perk about the festival, one other cool thing that you can experience is if you work a 9-to-5 job and you just haven't been able to make it since the show opened up, we will have our galleries open all weekend long. So you can come see the artwork anytime during the Summer Arts Festival and get a chance to experience the work if you haven't yet.
And how long is that exhibition going to be up?
That one is going to be up until about August, specifically August 15th.
And if people, you know, come out and enjoy the festival and want to come back, what are your normal hours?
Our normal hours when it's not festival time are Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m.
But you're going to be closed next week, right?
Yes, we like to close the following week for so we can do a little recovery and start planning for next year. Because let me tell you what, this festival takes a year year's worth of planning ahead.
So, Monica, anything else you want to mention about doing this year?
Not really, Kyle. Again, we appreciate you having us here, and we are excited to we're excited to have the festival and to be here for the community.
All right, Monica Stanfield, Ashley Kluver from Umpqua Valley Arts, thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Kyle.
Thank you, Kyle.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.